Entitled, What Are You Looking At? What are you looking at? Well, there are a lot of things that we can look at today, now more than ever before in the history of human civilization. You know, we have this little smartphone, which is really a dumb phone, right? Because it can lead us to a lot of bad places. And so we can be looking too much on our phone. We could be looking too much at TV. We could be looking too much at the wrong people and the way they live their lives, and be influenced by all of that. And so, as a Christian, the Bible says in Romans that those who are in Christ are a new creation. And so there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. See, when you repented of your sins, you know that you are a sinner in need of the Savior. And you've repented of your sins. You says, I'm done, I turn away, and I look to you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I'll follow you all the days of my life. For those who have made that confession, and they make that decision daily, those are the Christians. They choose to follow Christ daily. The Lord puts into you His Holy Spirit now. And see, so now you're able to be able to look at the way at things the way God looks at things. See, because before you could only look at things the way the world could or the flesh. But now as a Christian, as Romans says, the book of Romans says, you, those who are in Christ are a new creation. You have now died to self to be reborn again to God. That's why it's called being reborn again in John chapter 3. You must be reborn again. Those who have been reborn again now have the Spirit of God in them. And now by the Spirit of God, you can now see things the way God sees things. You can now hear things the way God hears things. Amen? That's an incredible thing, guys. The Bible says in Revelation, those who have an ear, let them hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. God speaks to His children. You want to know why? Because He is a good father. And a good father speaks to His children. If you think God has not been speaking to you, you just have not been listening. Or you need to get reborn again. Because I'm going to tell you something. God is faithful. He speaks to His children because He is faithful. Us earthly fathers, we love our sons and daughters. And I know as for me, I like to speak to my grown children every day. And every day I'm involved in their life and I want to know what's going on in their life. And yeah, they'll tell me, Dad, we're grown-ups. I'm still their father. How much more our Father in heaven, who is perfect, who knows us better than we know ourselves. How much more His love, His understanding, His wisdom, how much more? And so when we follow Jesus and we're followers of Christ and we're Christians and we've been adopted into the family of God, we begin to look at things the way God sees things. But sometimes, Christian, we could look at the wrong way. We could do the wrong thing. Why? Because as a Christian, we are unique. We're not like everybody else anymore. As a Christian, the Bible teaches that we still have the flesh in us, but now we have the Spirit of God in us. Those who have not confessed Christ as Savior only live in the flesh. They can only continue to do wrong. But those who have been saved, who have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, we still have the flesh, yes, to do bad, yes, we do. But now the Spirit of God is in us. And now we can choose to do right and to do wrong. And God is patient with you. God is merciful. He is going to work with you because you see, God sees you not the way we see each other. When God looks at you, He sees the end result of what you will look like if His will is done in your life. You see, we always look at each other. You know, man, Steve, he's got no hair on his head. He's bald. And Pastor Eric, he's bald too. You know, and I could get judgmental about, you know, who has a rounder head, who has a smoother head. You know, I've been bald before too. I scared my daughter to daylight. She cried. She was a little girl and she didn't recognize who I was. And so they said I looked like a gangster. And so I had to grow my hair back. And so it's funny. But the way I look at you and the way I look at Eric, I can only see the present. I can't see your past. You know, I can't really imagine what it would be like if you were to have hair on your head, right? Or not only that, but if I was to look at your failures right now, it would be very hard, because sometimes in the human eye, we only judge by what we currently see. But you see, God looks at us and he sees the end result. Yes, he knows your present situation, but if his will is done in your life, he sees the end result of what you will look like. And you see, that is why God is patient with you. But you see, only God knows the outcome, because he's God. And so when we give Jesus Christ the opportunity to move in our lives, to work in our lives, and we respond in faith to him, we begin to look at the right things, because he begins to see us in the end as who he wants us to be, of our own free will. God is never going to force you. You see, Eve, she looked and she saw that this forbidden fruit was good, but she was wrong. The Bible says it clearly. She looked and she saw it was good, but it was wrong. And we could look at things and think that things are good, but still be wrong. Amen? Has anyone ever been there before? Amen. So you need to learn, Christian, to look at things the way God views things. That begins through understanding the Holy Bible, the written word. It begins through a prayer life with Jesus Christ. It begins through times of fasting as the Holy Spirit would lead you. And it begins with true biblical Christian worship. You know, I come here to this church to serve. I come here to this church to fellowship. I come here to this church to get encouraged. But first and foremost, I come to serve. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I come to serve, not to be served. And so when a Christian understands that his Christian life is not always just about them, our Christian life is about others. Our Christian life is about others. Because when Christ came, it was not about him, it was about others. He says, I came to find the lost. And so if Christ is in us, his work still continues to this day. But if we, Christian, are about other things, that's why you will have confusion. That is why you'll have frustration and anger. And things will not go as planned by God, because your will is not in alignment with his will. Because you're not understanding and seeing through the eyes of God all that's happening in this world. And it's time that you look at what God is looking at. What are you looking at? See, humanity's always had this problem. Eve had it in the garden. She looked and saw it was good, and she ate, and she gave over her husband to eat, but she was wrong. In Genesis 13, 10 through 13, I'm going to read this to you. You know, Abraham and Lot, an uncle and a nephew, they were rich, so much flocks, you know, herds of sheep and all kinds of different animals. They had so much riches that their shepherds, their laborers, began to fight with each other. And Abraham, through the wisdom of God, said, okay, we need to separate our camps. Lot, you go any way you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction, because we're just too big to stay together. We need to separate. So Genesis 13, 10 through 13, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. So then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. You see, Abraham trusted in the wisdom of God. Abraham said, Lot, you choose where you want to go first, and I'll go the other way. He was giving Lot the opportunity to choose first. Why? Because Abraham was going to already make the right decision, because he was seeing things through the eyes of God. Amen? And so Lot chose for himself a place where it was very wicked. Now think about it. I hear a lot of people that live out in the country. They'll say, you can't get me to live in Houston. I'm not living in Houston. Why? Because the crime is more. There's more people. Right? You get what I'm saying? It's louder. There's a lot of pollution, more pollution there. You list go on and on and on. I'm from Northside Houston. I know how it's like. I would rather stay out in the country. I'd rather stay out where it's more peaceful. Where it's, you know what I'm saying? Can I get an amen in this place? Amen. Amen. And so, but he chooses the opposite. He goes to the great city of Sodom, and everybody already knew it was a wicked place. Why would Lot make such a decision? Well, many years later, the Lord and two angels come to visit Abraham. And they're telling Abraham that he's loved. And that even though he's an old man, almost 100 years old, he's going to have a son in 1 year. And his wife is 90. And she starts laughing and says, oh yeah, right. And think about it, women. 90 years old, you're going to have a baby. See, with God, all things are possible. And so, as the Lord is about to leave the camp of Abraham, he goes, ah, I'm going to do something. Kind of like, oh, now I know why I came to the earth. It was kind of funny. I'm giving you a little illustration here. In Genesis 18, 17 through 21, it says here, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall become a great nation, a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known Abraham in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justiceness, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. He's saying, should I keep from Abraham what I'm about to do? No, I'm going to tell Abraham what I'm about to do because he's a righteous man. Well, watch this. He's a righteous man. There is order in his house. His children honor me. So I'm going to tell Abraham what I'm about to do. And what was God about to do? God was about to bring wrath and judgment on a great city, Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot happened to live. And God will still do this today. You hear the true Christian saying, repent, repent, repent. Why? 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 Because God still honors that promise that to the household, to the men and their families who are true to the Lord, God will still give them revelation about what he is about to do today as well. And you hear it on the hearts of the faithful, of the true Christian faithful worldwide. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. It's coming. And God still speaks to his people today. If he does not, he's not a good father. He has abandoned us. We are orphans. But Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send to you the Holy Spirit. He will be with you to the very end of the age. The Holy Spirit is in you, church. Amen? What are you looking at? What are you looking at? And so, verse 20, and the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, meaning very dangerous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. God visits us. Even though God is in heaven and God is everywhere, the word, the theological word is called omnipresent. Omnipresent. God is everywhere all the time. But for our human understanding, God is in heaven, but yet he's everywhere. He sees all things, he hears all things, he knows all things. You either take that by faith or you don't. And he says, I'm going to go down and I'm going to see if the sin that they have committed, which has reached up to heaven, is true. You see, God is visiting us. His Spirit is on this earth today in the hearts of true believers. God is seeing what's going on. Christian, your heart grieves. You see the wickedness in this place today. We're not judging the people, but our heart is grieved because such evil exists today. The Sound of Freedom, a movie that came out recently that shows child trafficking and child sex slave going on. The biggest industry in the world today, $150 billion, and most of its clients are here in America. Such evil. I watched this movie and I was crying. Crying so much because of the evil that's going on in this world, the evil that is being done to these children today kidnapping them from their homes, turning them into the sex slave industry, ending up anywhere in Russia, in China, wherever it may be, wherever a perverted need is needed. And this doesn't bother the Christian today? We're so wrapped up with our lives. We're looking at different things and not really understanding of what's really happening in this world. Look, you're not going to change the world, you by yourself. But you can change your community. You can change your family. You can change your own direction of how you are going. If you will be responsible with what is entrusted to you, you're going to see God move. You know, these children are deep in my heart of my wife and I. That's why we have a school. Because we see the generation, the way it's going, and where it's going to end up. And we're just trying to do what we can. Jesus said, I'll leave 99 to find one. Now, I'm not saying that to toot my horn, but what I am saying, the reason why I'm saying this is because we need, in order for God's will to be done, we need to be looking at the right thing. I sat there and my heart was grieved. My heart was grieved that evil still exists, and it's a greater evil than ever before. How could people do this? They asked this agent undercover who's going to save kids. They asked this person, why do you want to help these children? And he said something that struck so deep in my heart. He says, God's children are not for sale. And it's true. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus comes that you may have life and life abundantly. Now, I'm going to say something, and it may be controversial for you, but it's biblical what I'm about to say. You need to leave all man-made religion, and you need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ today. You need to go to the Bible for yourself. You need to get right and serious with the Lord and call on Him and say, Lord, I know I was raised a Catholic, or I was raised a Baptist, or I was raised a Pentecostal, whatever it is. And you say, Lord, I abandon all of this, and Lord, I come to You with a right heart. Reveal to me Your truth. Because all religion will do is keep you away from the Lord. But when you seek Him with all your mind, body, and soul, He is going to speak to you. And we are living in too short of a time to play with God. Never should we play with God. Now, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? In Genesis 19, I want to read this to you. Genesis 19, starting in verse 1. Now, I'm just going to read it all the way through to verse 29. That way we can get a real good understanding. I'm going to move quickly. So, Abraham pleads, Lord, are You going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And basically, the Lord says, if there's anyone righteous, I will save that city. I won't destroy it. Genesis 19. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. This is important because only elders, in biblical times, only elders of a city could sit at the gate. Important people. The mayor, politicians, only important people were allowed to sit at the gate of a city. And Lot is sitting at the gate. Lot went from living far away near Sodom, but far, but yet now he is involved in the affairs of Sodom. And he's supposed to be a believer of God. Verse 2. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, these are two angels looking as men that have come." He says, "Please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go your way." And they said, "No. Well, we will spend the night in the open square." Meaning, no, we're going to stay right here in the open town square. And Lot insisted strongly and said, so they turned into him. And so they entered his house. And then he made them a feast. And he baked unleavened bread and they ate. Lot did not know who they were, but he knew they were special. Verse 4, it says, "Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally,'" meaning sexually. There was homosexuality going on in that town. That was the grave sin that God was talking about, because it's highlighted right here. Again, I am not attacking homosexuality today, LGBTQ. I'm not attacking any of that. All of it is idolatrous. All of it is immoral. I mean, even heterosexual sex outside of the marriage between a husband and wife is wrong in the eyes of God. Sex is only supposed to be between a husband and a wife. Anything else outside of that, it's immoral and it's wrong. And in our society today, everybody jumping in and out of bed with one another, man with man, woman with woman, man and woman, all of this, it's wrong. It's a sin. And so I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, homosexual sin's wrong, but a man and a woman, oh, it's okay. It's a man and a woman, even though they're not married. No, it's all wrong. You get what I'm saying today? Amen. Amen. And this is the problem Sodom had, because the Bible said all the city, men and women, showed up wanting to have a sex orgy with these two individuals who happened to be angels of God. Do you see how even today people abuse the things of God? If two angels showed up in those days, do you think an angel can manifest today for the glory of God? Absolutely. The Bible says in the New Testament, we have entertained angels and not even know it. New Testament says that. Let me read on. Verse 6. So Lot went out to them and drove the Lot went out to them through the doorway. He shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." What are you looking at, Lot? Lot, where in your right mind, Lot, would you give away your two daughters for the sake of these men? That in itself is ridiculous. Do you see? Lot is on his way to even becoming perverted himself. But God in his mercy, there are Christians today that are on the road to perversion. Their thinking is so off right now. Their thinking is so off right now. Let me say it again. In the church, so many, their thinking is so off right now. They're like Lot. Take my daughters. Who and what right father would say, take my daughters? You see what I'm saying? Do you see what wickedness does? When you look at the wrong thing for a long time, your judgment is impaired. Your morals are damaged. Your relationship with God, you can't hear what he's saying is right is right. You can't even recognize the angels of God that are at your in your house. You know they're important, but you don't know really who they are. There was still a little bit of light left in Lot where Lot could respond to, hey, these are somebody important. And there's a lot of believers like that today. They just have a little light and they know what's right, but they still choose to do wrong. There's going to come a day when that door is going to shut. There's going to come a day when God says enough is enough. If God is God, why doesn't he do something about all this evil in the world? He is. He's coming real soon. Hallelujah. And he's going to judge the wicked. You, I, we were once wicked. But somebody prayed for us. And we responded to the call of Jesus. And we're saved. And we're set free. And our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we're on our way to heaven. But before we go, we're going to win a few souls before we go. Because that is what Jesus taught us to do. My life is not about me no more. My life is about Christ and his purpose. And the same with you, Christian. Verse 9. And they said, "Stand back." And then they said, "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than we with them. So the people pressed hard against the man Lot, and they came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men outside who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. These two angels struck all the people with blindness to stop this chaos that was happening. You see, all the chaos happening in the world today, you have no idea. God could stop it instantly. But he's patient, not wanting anyone to perish. All this chaos, why don't God do something? God can do something, but he's patient. But verse 12, then the men, the angels, that is, they said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whoever you have in the city, take them out of this place. What is that saying today? What is that saying? Christian, you have a free card to win anybody that is close to your heart. Christian, you have the ability to invite anybody to heaven. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the salvation that is freely available right now. Do you have anybody? Anybody else? Is there anybody else that you can grab to bring them into your house? Verse 13. The angels say, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Because he is God. He created it and he can destroy it. Verse 14. So Lot went out and he spoke to his son-in-laws. Now, again, you got to understand from the original translations to English, you do lose some translation. Let me understand clearly what this says. They were not married. His daughters were not married yet. They were promised to be married. But even as they're promised to be married, they're still considered married in a way already. But these two daughters of his were virgins. So though they called them sons-in-laws, they were only promised to be married. Because there's a whole process in this tradition of how a marriage would happen back then. That's another sermon. Look, so Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws who had married his daughters and said, get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. Do you get that? When you talk to people about Jesus, even your own family, they think you're joking. Ah, you're full of it. Man, this is ridiculous. Even his own future son-in-laws thought he was just full of it. How many people in your own family think you're just full of it? That you're just joking about this Jesus? And yet judgment is at the door. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? They had no respect for Lot. Had these men respected Lot, they would have known Lot was being serious. They would have believed Lot, but because Lot had already lost a lot of credibility because he was an elder in a wicked city, he had no credibility with his son-in-laws. Guard your credibility. Your name means a lot, Christian. Don't say yes and go and do no. Let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Don't laugh at all the dirty jokes that are being said. Walk away. Don't need to judge them and say, hey, don't talk like that. Just walk away. You don't need to be a part of filthiness. You don't need to laugh at the dirty jokes. You don't need to go and see all the bad things that everyone else is seeing. You don't need to be a part of all that stuff. Be separate. Be holy. Because if not, you'll lose your credibility. Verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And look, and while he lingered, the men, the angels, took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. Look, verse, the top of verse 16. Lot lingered. Another translation? Hesitated. A lot of Christians are hesitating. The Lord is taking you by the hand and you're hesitating. These angels took Lot by the hand, but he was hesitating to go the way of God, where there is freedom, where there is liberty, where there is salvation. A lot of people hesitate. God is holding your hand. God is faithful. God will lead you, but there's still a lingering. There's still a hesitation in your heart. And all the while, judgment is coming and you're still hesitating. What are you looking at that's distracting you? So it came to pass, verse 17. So it came to pass that when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, or you'll be destroyed," the angel told him. Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and die." He was in bad shape. He was in really bad shape. There was something in Lot that even Lot wanted to go back to the city. "See now," he says, "this city is near enough to flee to and is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And they said to him, "See," he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." The angel said, "Go, I'll delay this judgment that's coming. I won't destroy that city. You can go to that little city." That city had been untouched in wickedness. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun had risen up upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. And so he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. And when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt, God remembered Abraham. Why was Lot saved? Because God remembered Abraham. God remembers the righteous and their children. God remembers them. God is merciful. God is patient. But God will not wait forever. What are you looking at? What are you looking at that can turn you into a pillar of salt? His wife looked back. Why? Because she desired that life that was in Sodom. She did not want to go to where the Lord was going to deliver her to. And a lot of people will end up in an eternal separation from God, the lake of fire, because they desired something else than the eternal presence of Almighty God. Look, why did Jesus do what he did on the cross? Because sin requires payment. And that payment is death. Every human being is marked by sin. Every human being born into this world is marked by sin. You see it in a child. A child is naturally stingy and greedy and lies. You have to teach a child to share, to tell the truth, to be nice. Because naturally, in our flesh, we're wicked. And we're in an age of innocence until we come to the age of accountability. And only God knows that age for every human being. But when that person comes to the age of accountability, we now have to answer for our sin. And that is when we are in need of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Because what he did on the cross, died and rose from the dead, he paid the penalty that who all would believe in the only begotten Son of God would be forgiven of their sin, because they repented of their sins and they looked to Jesus as Lord and Messiah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. But if you look at the wrong thing other than the cross, it's eternal separation, it's fire, it's brimstone. And one day, every human being finds out that this is the truth, what I've just spoken. Everyone. Everyone who's gone on to the other side knows that what I've just said is truth. But see, here's the thing. What if you die and you realize that there is nothing on the other side? See, I have nothing to lose. But what if I said it's true? Then you have everything to lose. But I believe in what I believe in. And I'm willing to die for what I believe in. Because Christ died for what he was willing to believe in. And he gave himself up a living sacrifice. And we as Christians, we need to give our lives a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Your Christian life is not about you. Your Christian life is about serving others. It's about for the will of God to be done, period, in this world. That is true biblical Christianity. But you can go all those churches that are filled with self-centered gospels. Christ said, I came to serve, not to be served. Lot's wife learned a valuable lesson. Let me read the scripture to you. Luke 17, 28 through 30. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When Jesus comes back, everybody's going to be eating, drinking, building, doing what they've been doing since the beginning of time. And in the twinkle of an eye, Jesus is going to come. He's going to bring his rescue, his salvation to those who have been waiting upon him. It's called the rapture of the church. And for those who were wicked, who did not look to Jesus, what are you looking at? The Bible says you'll be destroyed. Not what Michael says, but what the Bible says. Why? Because God is going to do away with wickedness. So look, Philippians 3, 13 through 14, let me encourage you. For those who look to Jesus today, Paul says this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul was the main terrorist of the Christian church. Before Paul, the writer of this verse, before he became a Christian, he was persecuting Christians. He was arresting Christians and having them put in prison. And we know the story about the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. He met Jesus in a vision, and he was blinded for 3 days. And Paul became a believer after 3 days. We know that story in the Bible. So he went from being an Osama bin Laden to becoming the best citizen of the United States of America. See what that meant. That's what it was like. He was once killing the Christians. Now he became a Christian. And this is what Paul said. Paul said, one thing he said, I do, brother. I forget what's behind me and I look forward to what lies ahead. What does he mean? In order to be of good use to you, in order to be a pastor, he says, in order to be an apostle, in order to be the Christian God's called me to be, I have to forget who I once was. I was a murderer. I was a liar. I was a thief. I was killing them. I was arresting these Christians. I had to forget that so that I could be who God called me to be. What does it mean? It means that God has forgiven you and God has wiped the slate clean. Go forward. Press on to Jesus. Look at Jesus. Don't look at the things of the past. If you're driving a car and you keep looking in the rearview mirror all the time, you're going to run into somebody. Those rearview mirror, the sides, that's just for a quick glance of what's behind you. And as a Christian, we remember who we were. We don't forget it, but we don't hold on to that. We don't hold on to that stuff. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we are going forward. What are you looking at? Amen? In Colossians 3, 1 through 3, Paul goes on to say in this scripture, he says, if I then, you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We died to this world so that we could be alive to Christ. Set your mind on things above. Everything you do, your job, everything you do, everything you know that is for the glory of God. Work as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Everything you do, it's about eternal treasure. You're not saved by what you do. You're saved to do good things. Amen? You understand that, guys. Worship God and in your time and your talent and your treasure. Set your mind on things above, not on things below. If your mind is not set on things above, it's because you're too much on things below. You're focusing too much on the things of the world. Hey, you got to go to school. You got to work. You got to pay the bills. You got to put food on the table. You got to do these things, right? You got to build a house for your family one day. Whatever it is, you know these are things you got to do. But let God do it with you. Honor God in all that you do, and you'll do it right. Amen? Now, Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this. Paul goes on to say this. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, meaning I urge you. We don't use that word beseech. I'm using a New King James. But he says, I urge you, meaning this is serious, guys. I beseech you, therefore, brothers. He says, brethren. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the body of Christ. He says, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, look, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is what God accepts. When you offer yourself to Him, this is the right way to worship God. Honor God with your body. You want to know why? Because if you're willing to give your body, you've already given your soul. You've already given your mind. The body is just the after parts. If you're willing to give your body to something, it's because you've already made it up in your heart and mind that you're committed to it. And that is the last thing, your body. Offer yourself, because you're going to be of good use to God in a dark place. Look, verse 2 says this, and do not be conformed to this world. Meaning, don't look and do what the world does. Don't act like the world. Don't be molded by the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, I used to make fun of my mom years ago before she became a Christian. She watched Oprah. She watched The View. And I know she's watching right now. I'm picking on her. She'll probably tell me something later. But she used to watch The View all the time. And you know, those women, they get on there and they rant and rave. They talk about all the craziest things. And I would tell my mother, Mom, you need to get off of that and you need to start reading the Bible. I said, your ideology, your opinions, your morals, it's being conformed from their opinions. You're believing everything according to what they say, and that's not good. She understood it, and now, you know, she don't watch that, but this is for all of us, guys. What are you looking at? You have these friends that are just in dark places, and if you give heed to their opinions and their ideology, that could be dangerous for you. What are you looking at? Instead of Christian, you being an influence, you're allowing them to influence you. And that is not the designed plan of God for the church of Christ. We are to be the influencer, not us being influenced. And that is what this old man sees today. I see so much of the church being influenced by the world. What I say today would not be welcome in 80% of the churches in America. They would think I am just a religious nut because of what I'm saying. Again, look at verse 2. At the end of verse 2, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 2. You must prove this. We are called to prove God, that you may prove what is that good. What is good? You must prove it. How? You must know the written word of God. You must know Jesus Christ. You know, the devils, they know Jesus. The devils, they believe in Jesus too, but they're still going to hell. You must really know Christ, and Christ must know you. Proverbs 4:23-27 says this: watch over your heart with all diligence. Please let this soak into you, my brother, my sister. Watch over your heart with all diligence, meaning guard your heart. For from it flow the springs of life. Your heart, your mind, that's what I'm talking about. Your spirit, your soul, everything. Guard it. You are a sponge. You soak up everything. You talk about little kids, they soak up everything. That never ends. You still soak up everything. Look, verse 24, let's read this. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Watch what you say. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Whatever is in your spirit and your mind, your mouth's going to speak it. Speaking evil, curse words, guard it. How can you say praise God and then blinkety blink this in the same breath with the same mouth? Verse 25, let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Everything you do, the devil's watching you. Everything you do, God will direct you. And my last scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. What are you looking at? In order to look correctly, we cannot look with these visual eyes here, these eyes of the flesh, these physical eyes. We must look through the eyes of God by faith. We know what the written word of God says, and by faith. I've seen it before. Why are you so happy? You just got a report from the doctor that you're dying. And that person says, oh, but you know what the word says? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? For those who are sick physically, if God's called you to fight, fight. There are good doctors out there. But if one day you're going to die of something, and if you die, Christian, you die. You finished your race. Finish it faithfully. That's the beautiful thing about being a Christian, about following Jesus, is that when we leave this world, it's just the beginning for eternity. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love Him. Do you love Him today, church? Because He is preparing a place for you. But what will stop you is when you look to evil, and when you look to the things of this world, and when you begin to hate on people because they're gay, because they're this or that, but instead pray for them. Pray for their souls, because if they die in that way, they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. You see, we need to love these people to Christ, not hate them. There's already enough of hate in the world, but we need to love them, but we do not need to condone their sin, and we do not need to put up with this. This is why we have a K-4 through 12 school. Because I do not agree with our public school systems teaching these young children sexual morality. It's wrong. it's wrong. But I'm not just going to sit here in my pulpit, say, it's wrong, and not do nothing. We have a building. It sits here. Well, we're going to have school here. This is my example that God has allowed me to leave. What example are you leaving? As your pastor, I'm laying an example that I'm not just going to talk it. I'm going to do things about it. And if you're following Jesus, you'll follow me. Because I'm following Jesus. We had a whole message about this earlier in the ministry meeting where Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. There's a whole other message, and we may speak on that message next week. I don't know. I'm not trying to get people to follow me. All I'm telling you is I'm following Jesus. And if you don't know all the things yet about all this and all the ins and outs of this Christian life, hey, you know a tree by its fruit. If you see that I'm following Christ, well, hey, follow me. And in time, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll see it for yourself. Amen. Look, read John chapter 4 today. The woman at the water well. She met Jesus, and she was so excited afterwards. She went and told everybody, and they all came and started talking to Jesus and everything. And at the end of the story, they tell her, we no longer believe because you told us, for we've now seen for ourselves, and now we believe for ourselves. That's what I'm saying. She left a good example to follow. So, let's do something about our faith. Let's do something about our faith. Let's pray about this. We got to look at the right things, church. We got to look at the right things because we are surrounded today by so much distraction. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Guys, get serious about Jesus because Jesus and the devil are serious about you. Get serious. Let love fill your heart. Be sociable. Be presentable by God as an approved worker of Christ. Be a peacemaker. Be someone who brings unity into situations. Be someone who has a loving heart. But at the same time, listen. At the same time, don't run ahead of God. Be in sync with Him. Because if you run ahead of God, then you're just in the flesh. And you're going to hit a brick wall. There's so much to learn about this Christian life. But yet, God has it all under control. What are you looking at every day you wake up in the morning? Guard what you're looking at. Amen. You receive this word? You receive this word in Jesus' name? Give Him praise in His house. Give Him praise. Amen.